Greetings of peace. Welcome to The Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show every week. New show. Exciting, exciting. And you're tuning in and you went from maybe being obsessed with a boyfriend. Then you learned about the Dean, this way of life. That's a complete way of life. And now you left off being obsessed with a boyfriend and doing it the wrong way to doing it the right way. Now you're obsessed with getting a husband, getting a wife. And now you're in the strife now. It's very difficult. You're seeing that it's tough. It's challenging. You went through all the matrimonial sites. And you've been paired up with the wrong person. You're just not clicking. And my next guest went through all of the same drama. And he went from this site, to that person. Finally, he made it. And he's gained so much experience. So if you are just about to give up and you tuned into The Dean Show, there's hope yet. Because with my next guest, he's going to help us benefit from his experiences and give another door to an avenue that you can take. So hopefully you can find that right husband or the right wife and do things the right way. We'll be right back here on The Dean Show. My next guest, don't go anywhere.
This is
How's everything, my brother?
Very good, alhamdulillah.
So I went from saying in the beginning, opening, many people, they went from being obsessed with a girlfriend to a boyfriend, they finally learned the Deen.
Yes.
And they went away from all that. Because that woman, she's not talking about getting test driven. And he's right. Sick of test driving.
Exactly.
So what are the benefits of marriage now?
Alhamdulillah, marriage, first and foremost, it saves us from the fitna of the world. You know, unfortunately, we live in a society where haram is just surrounding us 24/7.
Isn't it?
And it's much easier to commit yourself into haram than to do it the right way, to do it with keeping in mind the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, once somebody gets married, you can enjoy the benefits of, you know, the gender interactions, but do it in a way that's pleasing to your Creator.
Now, you said one word, and I can't let you get away with what you said, Sharia.
Yes.
Now, some people who just, you know, they love bashing Islam, they hear this word, it's a red light. What right. do you mean when you say Sharia?
Sharia, in simple terms, is essentially the laws of the Creator, the do's and the don'ts, as simple as that. And Sharia is not something to be scared of, because it's something that's just and peaceful to the entire society, mm-hmm. for Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
Yeah, Moses brought Sharia, Jesus, yes. charity exactly. is Sharia, you know, being good to family is Sharia, prayer is Sharia. This is all part of the Sharia, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, now marriage is part of the institution. That's another part of the Sharia, correct?
Correct.
And what motivated you, so people can also benefit, before we go deeper into this, to get into marrying, just for your personal experience, just sure. in a condensed version.
Right. I mean, I basically try to follow what our religion teaches, which is to first and foremost go to your parents, to your relatives, to your friends, to the imam of the masjid. And I did all of that. But unfortunately, you know, first of all, marriage will only happen when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined it. So in a way, I wasn't doing anything wrong. What I was doing was sort of getting frustrated with some of the tools and the resources that were available. And so initially when I went through all the people that I knew, and they kept, for whatever reason, bringing the wrong kind of person that I was really not interested in, I eventually went onto the matrimonial websites
yeah.
to sort of do my own dirty work. And again, you know, there's a plethora of matrimonial websites out there, and some of them are good, some of them are not so good. But generally speaking, most of them had certain issues that I felt could be improved upon. Mm-hmm. And so, alhamdulillah, after looking for 3 very long years, I, alhamdulillah, got married to a wonderful sister. And right after we got married, I actually discussed with her and I proposed my idea that I wanted to utilize my professional skills as a programmer and my background of being a student of knowledge and having connections with the ulama and the shuyukh of the community, and also using my experience of going through this journey, how can I put all these things together to make it easier for those that follow?
Now, how can we benefit from your experiences? Now, you have a lot of experience because you went through, I mean, can we safely say almost all of the
yes.
matrimonial sites that are out there?
Yes.
Right? So you gained a lot of experience. We want to extract some of that right. so our viewers can benefit and not make maybe some of the mistakes you might have made. Right. You've learned a lot so we can benefit. What are some of the sure. difficulties and challenges you face?
Like I said, there are a lot of websites out there, and some of them are good, some of them are not so good. The biggest problem that I felt, in my humble opinion, is that most of the matrimonial websites out there are there as a business to make money. They're not really interested in benefiting people to connect for the purpose of getting married. And in fact, once people get married, they lose a customer. So it's almost to their benefit to keep you perpetually looking and just
shopping.
Going through this frustration.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Second thing is, you know, it's the internet, so there's really very little control of what you can do and what you cannot do. And so most of us, you know, those that are trying to be practicing and fearful of God's laws, we want to do it the right way. And most of these websites will not have controls in place to watch you. And basically, you can do whatever you want. And so you get into all kinds of fitna, you know, communicating with people in a way or in a manner that's not pleasing to God. And then the third sort of problem is because it's an open medium to the whole world, you get all kinds of people with bad intentions, some of them trying to scam you for money or just they're bored, so they want to just fool around with somebody else's emotions. So you get like a whole, you know, suite of people that just add to the frustration of somebody who's sincerely looking to get married for the sake of Allah, for the right reasons.
Go ahead.
So what I would say is my experience has essentially benefited me in creating resources that have the right controls in place so that we minimize the haram or the fitna, and also maximize the chances of success by bringing together a group of people that have a lot of commonality already, that are already looking for the same kind of thing, so that you have a much higher chance of success.
What are some of the problems that you've seen also over time now? Thank God you're married now, right?
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, so now that you have gone through all of these challenges, what are some of the other things that you've seen? Have you seen, like, because we know the deen is complete, this way of life from the Creator is very straightforward. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, oh young people, if you can afford, go ahead and get married,
yes.
right? And he also instructed the parents, if a good, honest, and righteous person of sound character, his deen is intact, comes to marry your daughter, marry him. Otherwise, there'll be great corruption and fitna in the land, right?
Absolutely,
so
yes.
Now we have clear instruction here. Mm-hmm. Did you see the opposite happening from the parents?
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, there's a whole variety of reasons for why I feel young people today find it difficult to get married. I mean, alhamdulillah, I've been in this work serving the community to try to get young people connected for marriage. And I've seen a whole suite of problems. Some problems that are, fall on the side of the parents, some on the side of the sisters, and some on the brothers, and some society as a whole. So you touched upon something very important. A lot of times I have personally seen, while I'm trying to help people get married, is the brother and the sister are actually, mashallah, good for each other. They're compatible. Maybe they're a little bit young, but you know, both of them are sincerely looking to please Allah and get married for the right reasons. But sometimes it's the parents that actually do more disservice to their children than good. And oftentimes they don't realize it. And for example, if I may cite some examples, sometimes, let's say, a younger brother who is still potentially a student, but has, you know, good potential, he has a bright future, but he doesn't have much money. He's a good practicing Muslim, he's good character and everything, and the sister is interested in such a brother, but then the parents of the girl would shoot him down because he's not a doctor or a lawyer or he's not making enough money. Similarly, on the other side, sometimes, let's say, a brother is from India, a particular city in India, and his parents want him to marry a specific girl from a specific cultural background. And so they lose out opportunities for a good girl who may have been very good and compatible for him. So sometimes parents actually do cause a lot of harm than good.
We're going to get more into this. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
We're going to take a break. You take a break, get some juice, some Kool-Aid, whatever the case, and we'll be right back. Take a refresher. We'll be right back with more on this hot topic. It's about marriage with my brother here, Hassan. We'll be right back on The Dean Show.
I want you to imagine you wake up and in front of you are a bunch of guys running around kicking a ball. No goals, no lines, no rules. What would you think? But is that your life? Surely every sport has its goal. Every game has its end. It has its objective. It has its rules. How about life? How about our life? Isn't there a goal to life? Isn't there a purpose, an objective that we have to reach? We think so. The Quran tells us that we exist in order to worship God. And worshiping God means knowing God, as the Quran says. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Worship, though, is not some narrow, small thing. It's wide, it's vast, it encompasses everything that the human being does. Everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you feel can be done, thought, said, felt in a way that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. The purpose of life is to try and do everything in a way that God loves and God is pleased with. That is your goal.
Back here on The Dean Show, and many people went from, like we talked about in the beginning, obsessed with having a boyfriend. Now they realize the purpose of life. Completing half your deen is in marriage. Now you have the institution of marriage. You protect the lineage of your children, protect yourself from diseases and all the other things. Now the evil outcome that comes with fornication and doing it the wrong way, but doing it the right way, Allah's way, the Creator's way, you got so many blessings, right?
Alhamdulillah.
And now there's some obstacles. You went through a lot in getting married. You went through all the matrimonial side. What benefits from your experience? We were talking about the parents now.
Yes.
We know that parents, obviously, they care about their gems, mm-hmm. you know, their children. They don't want anybody coming in who's going to, be like a wolf coming in sheep's clothing. So it's obviously encouraged that the parents are involved. But sometimes people overstep the grounds, right?
Right.
You have these high demands, 50,000, 60,000 on the mahar, right?
Right.
Prophet, peace be upon him, said the simplest marriage, the best marriage are the simplest ones. So now you have parents sometimes, okay, the guy comes, he has good character, good deen, and now they want like 100,000. Have you seen some of this happening?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's actually very prevalent in our society mm-hmm. where the parents would demand such outrageous mahars that are just not doable for the for the guy. And then one of two things happen. Either the guy just says, okay, I will do it just to marry the girl, and he has absolutely no intention of paying the mahar, which is actually very wrong because it's an obligation upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes the brother sincerely wants to pay, but he's just unable to. And so therefore he misses out on a good girl and the girl misses out on a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem that I've seen is that sometimes kids actually do want to give that respect to their parents, to say, you are my guardian, you have the right to choose for me. But the parents kind of abuse that respect because the parents have a certain image of what their children should marry. And sometimes that image is diagonally opposite of what the child wants. And so the child is constantly giving this respect to their parents of bringing candidates, and eventually keeping on saying no because the candidates that are being brought are not matching what the person actually wants.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of time wasted and a lot of frustrations. And I think the only piece of advice I could give to parents and children is, first of all, children should continue to give that respect to their parents. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that right to the parents to help you choose your spouse.
But these are adults now. They're not even children, right?
Right, right,
yeah.
Adults. And at the same time, parents don't go overboard in imposing on what you want, but to have that honest conversation with your children and really find out what do they like, what are their interests and hobbies, and what do they see as an ideal spouse for their marriage.
Let's go into some other. We want to bring things down to reality. I mean, we're fallible human beings. We make mistakes. Sometimes we need the reminder, and reminder benefits the believers. So now you have also a growing trend of women that now they want to finish school, or also men who want to finish school,
right.
And now the women end up neglecting the avenue of marriage, and they end up getting a degree,
right.
But they end up passing up that marriage. It's kind of like you missed the boat, and now you're maybe, in the late 20s, 30s?
Right.
And now what happens next?
Yeah, this is another very serious problem, actually. A lot of women, rightfully so, you know, they want to get an education, they want to get a career, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, sometimes they put so much weight on getting a career and education that they naturally get a little bit older. And unfortunately, in our community, sometimes, you know, brothers are looking for a specific age category. Maybe they want to have a lot of kids, and so they want to marry a sister who's much younger. But then by the time that sister finishes her education, she's perhaps a little bit past her prime. And so now all of a sudden, mashallah, she might be a good-looking sister, she might have good education, good family and everything, but all of a sudden from the brother's perspective, she's not as much of a high demand anymore. And so unfortunately, those sisters now find it much, much harder to get married when if they had gotten married a little bit earlier, maybe before finishing their education, gotten married to a good guy, and then studied together even, or continued to study after she got married, it would have been a much better outcome of the situation.
So this is a reality. I mean, some you think some women might get offended by that?
I hope not, because our intention is not to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
But I want to...
But it's better us to tell them.
Absolutely.
Because this is really a reality, what's going on.
Exactly. I would love for people to at least keep it in mind to know what the situation is instead of being in denial.
Exactly. And wouldn't it be better now? What's the substitute? Can she continue school, get married, and have a partner who helps facilitate this?
Absolutely. Yes, I have seen so many young brothers and sisters who come to their parents and say, you know, we want to save ourselves from haram, and we would like to get married early. Just as you said, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged people to get married early so that they protect themselves from all the evils of society. Mm-hmm. And so when a brother and sister who may both be students get married, there's absolutely nothing wrong in them continuing to study. In fact, it's beautiful. They encourage each other, and inshallah, many of them become very successful in their careers and their professions because they, you know, motivated each other.
Yes, absolutely. And there's no such thing, like people are so scared of divorce now, but then the door opens up and they end up doing the promiscuous thing. They end up maybe dating, right?
Right.
They say, okay, you know, now they go towards the haram, mm-hmm. and they end up dating. It's better, isn't it better now to divorce? Obviously, this is discouraged in Islam. You want to really keep the family unit and do everything you can not to separate. But at the end, it's not death to us part, right?
Absolutely not.
Islamic thing. There's a mercy there. And if they do split, it's better to actually divorce 100 times. This is just one extreme example, mm-hmm. than to do one time zina. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, divorce is something that's frowned upon by certain cultures and looked upon as if it's a forbidden thing, but it's not. It's actually completely allowed. And sometimes it's not only just allowed, it's actually recommended. Because if two people are so incorrect for each other and they're just harming each other, they're hurting each other's feelings on a daily basis, there's no mercy, there's no love in that relationship. Yes, our deen teaches us to give it your best, you know, try every stone unturned and utilize every means you have to reconcile. But even the best of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ divorced. And sometimes it's actually necessary, and it will, inshallah, in most cases, make the brother and sister's life better, because maybe they would, later connect with somebody who's better for them, inshallah. Mm-hmm. And actually, very honestly, that is the case with me. I subhanAllah, for reasons, you know, I had to take a divorce after 5 years of marriage. And alhamdulillah, I'm very happily married now. And inshallah, the sister that, my ex is happily married. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Whereas if we forced ourselves to stay married, it may have been a much worse outcome. So, mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, our deen is very merciful. It creates avenues for alternatives that don't force you to be in an unhappy, miserable situation.
When we come back, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about, you know, the men shopping a lot.
Right.
Okay, this is another problem. They keep shopping. We're like window shopping.
Yes.
And then you have procrastination, cold feet. A lot of brothers, they're not man enough to step up and take care of their responsibilities. Is this
right.
true?
Absolutely.
So we're talking about all this and more here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
You might see me talking, but is it even this is my family. If I ain't got fear, or fear,
he started having his problems, getting up to the fights.
One night, policeman called me, said, "You, Eddie's father, come on, get him from the station. He's locked up."
One fight here, another fight there.
His physical being was great for his ego, but it left him empty.
I'm running here, running there. From the outside, people looking in said, "Hey, this is the man."
Everybody knew Eddie. At any given moment, he could have 7 to 8 women that are running around the club looking for him. He did things that he pushed himself to the ethical extremes that he could.
I have to get out of this totally.
Right near the end, there was just a void.
It was a constant struggle.
His inner soul was broken at that moment. There was that emptiness in his eyes. It was a bigger emptiness than I think I've ever really seen in his eyes. It was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and he was struggling with that, but the effort was there. There was a conscious effort to make that switch.
People actually started talking behind his back, look at him, he's starting to be a good guy. And
this was the reality. It was death.
Betty's concept was he wanted to start showing Islam and spread it to the non-Muslims.
Well, people didn't know who I was.
Like, well, why are we doing this? No one's going to take you serious.
You're living a dream. Seeing people, I had to be out there and trying to convince people to be on the show.
That first episode of that show aired, I think that's when you saw the full formation come into hope. This guy's changed. What's going on here?
He's a machine, you know. But to see someone change, to see their character changes, to see positive changes in their life, it's a sign of God.
Back here on the Dean Show, before we left, we talked about there's no death until death do us part in Islam. One of the mercies is that now that if it's better to actually, and this was just going to the extreme, divorce 100 or 1,000 times and do it, come in peace, leave in peace, rather than committing one act of zina, right, fornication, adultery. Is
absolutely
that correct?
Yes.
So we concur with that. And we talk about window shopping. What do we mean?
So one of the problems I have seen with especially younger brothers who are potentially looking to get married, but they're in their own minds, they're probably not as serious as they should be. And what I mean by that is sometimes brothers will come across, you know, sisters who are looking to get married, and they'll get to know them a little bit, and they like certain things about the sister, but not everything is perfect, which nobody is perfect. And so they, you know, kind of let that sister go, and then they meet another sister, and they keep doing this over and over and over again to the point where they have this very unrealistic image of the kind of girl they want to marry, which consists of all the good qualities that they've seen across the, you know, 50 girls that they met. And now in their mind they have an image that is just not practical. And also at the same time, they might actually bump into a sister who is good in most of the aspects, but they feel that little bit of fear, what if I say yes to this sister and then tomorrow a better sister comes along? Mm-hmm. When in reality, you know, and what my teachers have taught me is that, subhanAllah, the only way the right person will come along is when you make sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, "Ya Allah, I don't know what is good for me. Only you know what's best for me. So you bring the right person to me that will be beneficial for me in the dunya and in the hereafter." Mm-hmm. And that's the right way of doing it. The other thing is, you know, young brothers who maybe just finished their education, they have a good job, they have a nice car, they have that lifestyle of independent, you know, they can stay up till 3 in the morning and watch movies with their friends. And of course, once you get married, you have to be more responsible. You have to give time to your spouse. You can't just accept invitations whenever you feel like it. You know, there's certain, I wouldn't call it difficulties, but certain adjustments you have to make as a married person. And brothers sometimes who are ready to get married for all practical purposes shy away from getting married because they don't want to lose that independence. But in the process, they end up doing a lot of haram, which, like we mentioned, you know, is much, much worse than doing it the right way.
Yes.
So my advice, humble advice to brothers, younger brothers who have a job, who have the right means to get married, as our Prophet ﷺ said, get married early, save yourself from haram, and you know, stop window shopping, but make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the right person to you.
A woman who's married, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said a person married for four things: her lineage.
Yes.
What else are the other four?
Lineage, her piety, her lineage, her wealth, and her wealth. Beauty.
Yes. Marry the one for her deen, you will be successful, right?
Inshallah.
So
yes.
Deen is number one, akhlaq, character, good character. And obviously there has to be some kind of attraction between the two, right?
Absolutely, yes.
But now you keep looking for a number, you know, you went beyond 10, you want 11, right?
Right.
And men and women, you've been a little bit too picky, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. So now this is one thing. Another thing is you got these real experience. Brother just was talking to a sister on one of these matrimonial sites, and they were talking for some time. And then finally it was getting down to the nitty and gritty, and she had all these demands on him, right?
Right.
And he was talking about, you know, you want to pick out the engagement rings, you're talking about the wedding, you know, big Bollywood, Hollywood style weddings. Do you see this as a problem too?
Yes. Again, you know, some sisters, well, most sisters have this dream image of what their wedding should be like. It's the one event that will only happen once in their lifetime. And, you know, from an early age, they plan it out. And, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, his advice was that the best marriage and the marriage with the most amount of blessings is the one that's very simple.
Simple, yeah.
And so and one of my teachers says it beautifully. He says, you know, the husband and wife who are looking to get married, sometimes they spend so much time and effort trying to make the wedding perfect, not realizing that they themselves are not perfect, and not realizing that they're harming their perfect marriage in trying to create the perfect wedding.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this happens a lot where the sister sometimes also is doing it out of peer pressure. Maybe her friends or her cousins had this amazing wedding and now she wants to outdo that wedding.
Yeah.
And so in trying to plan this special wedding that's a lavish wedding, she's causing undue pressure on the poor brother who might be sincerely trying to make it all happen. But at the same time, she might actually lose him. You know, where he just gives up and he says, I can't do this. This is beyond my means. So, and oftentimes what's worse even is that they start the foundation of their marriage on debt. Now they've spent $50,000 there in the hole.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where they could have started a beautiful beginning by humble means. So, you know, again, my advice to brothers and sisters is, you know, do what's reasonable, but don't go above your means where you cause more harm to your marriage than good.
Keep it, as the last and final messenger said, keep it simple. We don't need to get into debt
right
before we even start. And then at the same time, you see a lot of weddings where you see one family trying to outdo the other family. Right. And then it's a shame. You got, in a lot of these families, you have, you know, the dancing. You have the you know, the rock bands, hip hop bands, whatever the case, alcohol and all these other things far away from the deen. This is, what advice do you have for this?
Now,
this is
again, you know, a lot of times people, the brother and sister getting married, they want themselves to do this sort of activity. I mean, inshallah, Allah give us guidance. But sometimes brothers and sisters fall into family pressure because their family wants to do
it. The family.
And the thing is, you know. My advice again is to be firm and steadfast and really with polite, beautiful words explain to your family that I want barakah and blessings in my marriage for the next 50 years of my life, not just to please you for that one night and destroy my marriage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just with polite, beautiful words approach your family and say, this is something that's not allowed or not encouraged in our religion, and I want for myself and for my husband, or vice versa, to have blessings in my marriage. And so I would rather keep it simple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Start off right, you end right.
Right, exactly.
You got half-naked wedding, you know, you got doing it the wrong way. It's going to end up taking a wrong course, and it's going to be something that you are going to have to deal with and suffer the consequences, and it's going to be a wreck from the barakah.
Exactly.
So we want barakah, and hopefully we got so many people excited about marriage now.
Inshallah.
We've seen some of the realities that are going out there. People can relate with it. So we bring it back to the real world. So give us an avenue now that people can go. You're going to start this new website. Talk about it.
Yes. So the website that I'm just about to launch, actually it just launched today. It's called mawaddamatrimony.com. And one of the unique things about it is that it's going to be the first website that's supervised by a board of ulama, by a board of scholars, who will, you know, scrutinize it to make sure everything is halal, everything is legit and clean. There's no chances of inappropriate activity. And also the biggest source of advertisement for the website will be ulama and scholars, so that the kind of members we will get will be high quality, good practicing Muslims who are looking for the same. And so inshallah, that way we minimize the frustration of people coming from a wide variety of backgrounds who don't really match with each other. And you end up wasting a lot of time because you really are not looking for the same thing. And in contrast with that, I would also bring some of the experiences that I've had and some of the expertise as a programmer and somebody who's actually, my expertise is in security and privacy. And so I will inshallah do my best to make sure that people have a very safe and secure and wonderful experience in looking for their potential spouse while doing it in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, thank you very much. May the creator of the heavens and earth reward you for your endeavors.
Same to you. Jazakallah khair.
Oh, yeah. Ameen. Thank you.
Take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Peace be with you. And we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and hopefully we stimulated you to run towards marriage. We talked about women making those high demands, put a lot of pressure on the brother. Brother's just window shopping, having cold feet, step up. You know, it wasn't hard for you to go try to get a girlfriend. You were motivated about that, and you made all sorts of phone calls. You had a black book. Now you threw it away. Now be man enough to step up and go talk to the wali, go talk to the woman that you need to marry through the proper channels. The woman now, Khadija, look, she wanted to marry the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She stepped up also. It's not just a one-way street. If you see a brother now that maybe you want to marry, go ahead through the right channels, make a connection there. But the thing is, like we said, we fight to keep the family together when it is finally an institution of marriage and we don't want it to break. But the point we were making is better now that you run towards marriage and you might mess up along the way. But you messed up in a halal way. You didn't do it in the wrong way, through zina, through fornication, through adultery. So let's do things the way they'll bring barakah into our lives, simplicity. We have these extravagant style weddings that we talked about. Keep it simple. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that the best of marriages are the simple ones. And how do you know someone loves you, is right for you? That person brings you closer to Allah. That person brings you closer to your Maker. So hopefully you've gotten the benefit from being with us here on the Deen Show. And continue to tune in every week. Follow us on the Facebook, the Twitter, and contribute towards the Deen Show. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.